Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. So we'll talk about electromagnetism and some physics subjects in the context of using, okay, a, whatever his name is, Robert Ritchie video. Okay, so he's one of the hater troll types who will go to extraordinary lengths to, you know, exercise his hate demons, you know, trying to get people thrown off the internet and all kinds of things because they dare to critique him. They offended him deeply, and in doing so, you know, reap the wrath of his petty, insane, way out of all rational proportion bullshit. So anyway. So, yes, he's crazy, is the simple, that's the simple phrase for it, okay? I mean, he thinks he's invented a free energy anti-gravity machine, and he thinks the government's going to come and get him, and blah, 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 and he has to secure his patent by keeping it all a secret, when, no, the way you secure your patent is to make it public, see? Because it's really just about who thought of it first. It really isn't about who filed the piece of paper first. But whatever. It doesn't really matter. These people are just so pathetic. So anyway, he's doing a video where he's supposed to be explaining something, and there's just nothing of value. I mean, there's just nothing to use as actual something I could put in my brain and say, there, oh, okay, that's understandable. Nothing. So, so we'll play it and start the show. I think I'll play it a little fast. So a little, you know, I hate to go 1.5, but I really want to get through this, frankly. And I better check the volume. So I better decrease mine a bit. I can't go much lower, because then I won't be able to hear the crap he's saying. Anyway, one thing I'll say about electromagnetism before we start is that, you know, it is kind of funny that Faraday is famous for, like, the invention of the motor, you know, because of the motor force, okay? The idea that, you know, he's got a picture there on the screen of the field created around a wire. And the idea is, though, is that field has some rotation to it. That is, at least when another dipole, another magnet, is connected to it, the effect is rotation. Now, but that force is incredibly weak. You have to apply an awful lot of current to get much to happen. And the fact is that motors don't rely on it. Motors are just doing the red-blue thing. They're just doing the north side against the south side. It creates the repulsion. And the north side against the south side creates the attraction, you know, pulling things together. And the, you know, green against green would cause the repulsion and force things apart. And that's all that motors are actually relying on. So they're relying on a different kind of magnetic effect. And so it's just sort of, I'd say, you know, ironic and strange that Faraday is cited as the inventor of the motor when really, you know, the earlier discovery that they are, you know, that magnets repel and magnets attract, that was really the initiation of the invention of the motor, and all you had to do was create the electricity part, that is, the part where you could switch the magnetic field really easily and quickly, because that's what gave you the power to make a motor, was being able to turn the magnet really fast. So if I could flip a magnet, you know, 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, if I could flip a magnet back and forth really quick, I could have made a motor, but I couldn't do that. So somebody couldn't invent the motor back then, because they just couldn't flip the magnetic field quickly enough. All right, just throwing that in. So, two separate dimensions in 12 dimensions. Okay, so they're not two separate dimensions in the real three-dimensional universe. So he's going to use the word dimension all over the place because he thinks the word dimension means measurement, whatever that Yeah. Oh, it's a dimension of a measurement. When, you know, we know the three dimensions. I mean, I don't have to draw it, right? There's three dimensions, and what they have is right angles to each other. Okay, they're perpendicular to each other. Perfectly perpendicular. So each dimension is perfectly perpendicular to two other dimensions. And so there's only room for three, because you can't stick any other dimensions in that'll obey that rule. So, but yeah, let's ignore logic. What do we need logic for? Logic isn't something, that doesn't have anything to do with intelligence, does it? Logic? You know, and having words that actually mean something? Well, that doesn't, what use is having consistent language? Oh, no. Let's not do that. Let's just change the definition of words anytime we feel like it. God, I hate this planet. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. I probably have to tell people that.
G'day, yes. Here to talk about electromagnetism and why I consider it to be two separate fields, two separate dimensions.
Well, look, you know, most people concede it's about dipoles, okay? So clearly, monopoles don't do it, okay? So it's not charge. It's about dipoles. You have to be a dipole to be affected by a magnetic field in some coherent way, because what you actually have to do is you have to repel one part of the object, and you have to attract the other to cause the effect. So it's a field that affects dipoles. But, you know, does that mean the field is made of two things, or does that mean, no, it doesn't have to be, but yes, it actually is two different manifestations of the same thing. But it's not two dimensions in 12 dimensions. It's just two aspects of two qualities that something can have. Two features. Two noticeably different character, but not a dimension. I mean, obviously the magnets move in the three dimensions. I mean, obviously we make things happen in the three dimensions. There's not some other dimensions that the magnetism is working in. It's working in the three dimensions, and it's causing consistent effects in those three dimensions, in the sense of the whole existence of the right-hand rule is dependent on the three-dimensionality of the space. You can't really have right and left unless you have up and down and forward and back.
A lot of people claim that, you know, most scientists, most experts would argue that it is one of the four fundamental forces of nature. I like to think of it as two separate forces.
Whatever, the four, you know, which includes the strong force, which is clearly, in my opinion, dissectable as not a force at all. It's a consequence of magnetism.
Two separate dimensions, if you like. I believe in, from my research, and I believe in a multi-dimensional universe.
Right, that isn't to obey any of the rules of logic. So again, what do these dimensions do? These other dimensions somehow squish and bend the other three dimensions in some weird way that can't really be, you know, you can't put it in your brain and say, well, how the hell does it do that? The three dimensions can't do anything. I mean, if I squish the height dimension, I'm not going to squish the left, right, and the forward, back dimension. I mean, there's, you know, all this BS about somehow affecting three-dimensional space with a fourth dimension, it's all just kind of talk. There's no facts or evidence.
We're living in a universe that's made of dimensions that are superimposed on each other.
Whatever that means too. Yes, the three dimensions are dimensions in the three dimensions. Yes, and the other dimensions can see the other dimensions. The forward back guy can see the up, down, and the left, right. Yeah.
So I can count 12. And two of
so 12, whatever. That's how many he's counted, blah, blah. Whatever it means, whatever a dimension is. So he's already started with just fail. okay, what the hell are you talking about? What do you mean? What is this? What are the things in these other dimensions, the 4, 5, 6, 7 dimensions? How exactly do they interact with the 3 real dimensions? What do they do to the 3 dimensions? What?
Let's talk about 2 of these. One is the electric dimension, which we call an electric field. Another one is the magnetic dimension, which we call a magnetic field.
Blah, 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 blah. All right, so the fact that there is some energy that travels, so we know that it's a force that exists. So when a force exists, we call it a field. Something moving the speed of light. So there's a gravitational field because that moves the speed of light. There's a photon field because that stuff obviously moves the speed of light in empty space. And there's this magnetic field because obviously there is magnetism. Now, the electric field is the sort of bullshit one, because electricity is what atoms do. Electricity doesn't move through space. Electricity doesn't propagate through space. There is no electricity in space. There's just the circumstance of things can be charged, but there's no electricity traveling between charges even. Electricity is a specific phenomenon that takes place when you have atoms. You have to be ionizing atoms to have electricity.
Now these combine to form
polarizing atoms. Let me be more specific. Obviously, ionizing an atom polarizes the atom because it lost an electron or it gained one. But what you're really just talking about is changing the shape of an atom, which causes the atom to change its polarization, which way is north and south, that kind of thing.
Electromagnetism or the electromagnetic force. But really, let's talk about static conditions. Under a static
Okay, so there's whatever that would mean, static conditions in a world, the universe full of these fields constantly interacting with us. We're constantly bombarded with whatever gravity is. Constantly bombarded by it. I mean, no real hope of a Schrodinger's cat scenario. I mean, there's no real hope that any photon or any element of energy traveling from me can possibly escape the gravitational field. I mean, the point would be is that the gravity is actually made out of the same force, and so it can escape because forces don't interact with forces.
Condition: these two forces are separated. You can have an electric field.
All right. Well, I would argue you really can't have an electric field. It's always just a magnetic field. So, but go ahead.
Without magnetism, i.e., a non-moving item with an electric charge on it has no magnetic field.
Well, charge is not electricity, but okay, whatever. Blah, 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 blah.
And a magnetic field that is not moving has no electric field.
Well, whatever. Again, more horseshit. It isn't an electric field. It can cause electricity in another substance. So you can move a magnet, and the magnet itself doesn't have any electricity. It's just the fact that it will affect another surface by bombarding it with energy in such a way that will cause the other surface to become polarized. And when it becomes polarized, it creates another magnetic field that hits the first field, blah, 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 and the two fields start to fight with each other.
Try and prove me wrong.
Okay, so I'll try. Let's see. What's the proof that there's no electric field? Okay. Where's your evidence of one? I guess that would be my first argument. I can argue that electricity doesn't travel through empty space. There is no electric field.
In static conditions, the forces are separated, but once we impose movement on any of these electric fields or magnetic fields...
So again, the fields are already moving. They're moving the speed of light. So again, the stuff in the field is already conceded to be moving the speed of light, so it can't really be static. So all you're really talking about is changing it, just like a motor. You're switching polarities. When you switch polarities, you change what's in the field. The signal changes, right? So if I had a lighthouse that had a red light and a blue light on it, and it rotates the the red and the blue light. I can rotate it really fast. I can rotate it really slow. I can do lots of things that will change the field. Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
They're moving, they're under a dynamic condition, and they become conjoined.
So whatever that, there's no conjoining. It's obviously, you know, the fact is, the only conjoined there is the fact that they have an opposite effect on an electron. So it'll cause, when the electron sees red, it'll move towards. When it sees blue, it'll move away. It'll move towards, it'll move away. It'll move towards, it'll move away. The movement will induce movement. So the rotating lighthouse will cause the electrons to move in and move out and move in and move out. And each time they move in and out, they're pushing the force in different directions. They're expanding and contracting, and expanding and contracting what's reflecting off of them. So they're sending another signal back to the lighthouse.
That's when they form electromagnetic force, is when you apply motion. Now motion is a result of energy being placed into the system. Now,
it's momentum, so frankly, and momentum gives objects weight. So it's that simple. If something has mass and you make it move, it now has weight, and weight is its energy. The end. I mean, that's simple. It's all just momentum. There's no other form of energy. There's just mass moving. And I would argue that the force bits, the little bits in the force, are masses moving. That's why they have momentum. That's why enough light hits you, it will propel you. Now, it's a small, tiny amount of momentum per piece, but it's there. And the fact is that, yeah, maybe it takes a trillion gravity bits to hit you in a trillionth of a second. Yeah, who knows? Huge volumes of stuff in the universe. I mean, an atom is to the Earth what what's the other half of that? What a apple. An apple is to the Earth what a atom is to an apple. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff. We're really, 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 really gigantic. Okay, the real universe is the little tiny universe with the forces in it and the electrons and the protons. That's the real universe. And we're insanely bigger than that. Billions of times bigger. So, yeah, it's a little hard for us to see it. Yeah. But we can model it and understand.
A while back I asked what energy was, and no one gave me an acceptable answer.
So you made up another unacceptable answer, frankly. So the funny part is he actually believes in 1/2 mv². Even though there's no evidence that it takes 4 times more energy to go 60 miles an hour than 30 miles an hour, and there's no evidence about bowling balls or wrecking balls or any other thing having this extra energy. But he still believes. So he says, nobody gave me acceptable answer except I accepted their answer, which is silly.
Some highly credible scientists claimed it was waves.
So obviously, anything can be in the form of waves. You can make almost anything wave, theoretically. I mean, you can find old pieces of glass that have waves in them. A wave is not an elemental function. That would be the argument. But clearly, he's a believer in this notion that somehow the crap traveling has dimensionality in what would be considered a wave-like way. He's not going to tell you what he thinks a photon is.
That answer, because waves are one of the modes of propagation of energy.
So it doesn't say much, right? Yeah, energy moves at a frequency sometimes. Sometimes there's a lot of it, then there's a little of it, then there's a lot of it, and there's a little of it. Lighthouses, blue light, red light. Yes, but that doesn't explain what the stuff, what the light is.
Some people said it's the capacity to do work. No, that is a description of what energy can do.
So well, whatever, it's pretty good. Okay, so yes, but energy is weight, energy is momentum, energy is force. It's all one thing. It's just the movement of bits that have mass. You move a mass and it has momentum and it can give other things its momentum. Nothing else. It can just give what it's got. It can't create momentum. It can only take it or give it.
I won't talk about energy in this video. We'll expose what energy is later, and I'm sure most of you will agree. No doubt I'll have people opposed to what I'm saying, but
yes, no doubt. Yes, and the more the better, frankly, because what you're going to say is made up, unevidenced crapola.
It doesn't matter, because this is a theory that I'm working on, and I'm postulating a theory that's almost to the point of being able to put it into a thesis. So
yeah, well, this isn't showing that, okay? This doesn't even come close to modeling anything, okay? These are just words. There's no diagram of anything. There's no, how the fuck does that work, buddy? Nothing.
This is just part of it. This is just, we're examining the electromagnetic force, and we've broken it down.
Yes, well, we've broken it down into almost, you know, complete mush, frankly. You haven't explained why electrons are repelled by electrons, or why protons are repelled by protons, or why the electron is attracted to a proton. You haven't explained charge. You haven't explained any part of why anything happens. Why is there gravity? What's your gravitational theory? Since you've invented an anti-gravity machine, you should be able to tell us what gravity is. He has videos on it, but they're just as mushy as this bullshit.
Static and dynamic conditions. And you can see under the static conditions, they're two separate entities. And under dynamic conditions, they can join. Now what the universe...
So whatever, separate entities doing what? All there is charge. And frankly, charge is, if you think of charge as being magnetic monopoles, okay, not electric monopoles, but magnetic monopoles, works just fine.
Well, the universe doesn't care what you think or I think, but what the universe...
Well, whatever, the universe is us. We're a piece of the universe thinking. So I guess the universe does care what we think, in the sense that the piece of the universe called me thinks you're talking shit, okay? Just kind of really weakly modeled, mushy, wooey, la 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 la, where you're not going to really connect it to any experiments or any kind of rational diagram of what the thing is. I mean, if I said dog, I could draw a dog, right? I could draw you a picture. You can't draw me a picture of your 12-dimensional mush.
It does not like imbalance. So if you've got a wire...
Whatever, yes, the universe is, what's the right word for it? It's dependent on, everything functions based on this energy thing, and obviously you can end up with more energy on one side than the other side. And the very fact that that can happen, you know, you can force energy, it hits something and it ricochets. Well, now this side is a little slower than this other side because the energy didn't ricochet. So you could argue it starts off even, but it gets uneven. So every billionth of a second, you're in a bit of a quandary, you know, because one side of the universe is always every little billionth of a second. In the three dimensions, you're getting hit by a little bit more from one dimension than the other dimension, and you're getting jostled about a bit.
I'll just get rid of this. If you've got a wire and place a magnetic field in it, I'll just wipe that out.
Oh, this is the fun part. Oh, yeah, that doesn't work. I gotta need some water. I understand, but you know.
Do you have a bit of wire? And you place an electric current in that wire.
So what is an electric current? Okay, now you can say, oh yeah, you put a voltage in. The voltage has to have a current. But the idea is they don't use these words with any description. So a current, I would argue, is how many atoms are you using to transmit your money? Okay, I mean, how many hands and how, and then it's just about what dimension of dollar bill you're putting in the hands. So the current is how many hands are transferring your money, and the voltage is, am I transferring dollar bills or $5 bills or $10 bills or $20 bills? So I can create wattage, okay, which is the real energy, the wattage. I can create that in a wire. But to have magnetism, I need to make as many atoms as possible part of the exchange. So if I put a high voltage in, I'm not going to get anywhere because it's going to have a low current. That is, it's not going to use too many atoms. So I need to put low voltages in so I can force a lot of atoms to do the transferring. And what am I doing to the atoms? I'm polarizing them. I'm turning them into lighthouses that are switching their fields. Sending a signal. I'm polarized. I'm polarized. They're letting you know. See, if the lighthouse doesn't rotate, it'll just look blue all the time. Or it'll look red all the time. And, you won't pay much attention.
While the wire's charging up, you're creating a dynamic condition which creates...
All right, dynamic condition that creates blah, blah, blah. So again, what happens when you're passing electricity through a wire is the atoms are changing. They could be shaped this way, and then the electricity is coming through, they're exchanging, and their shape changes. So that's voltage. That's what the transfer does. A fat atom gives the energy to a thin atom, and the thin atom gets fat. Yeah. And as the shape of the atom changes, it's polarization, the field that's polarized, the red and the blue, that's how you switch it, by changing the shape.
Field around the wire. Now what that does is that expands at the speed of light.
This is more mush. Yes, we know that whatever the force is, okay, it moves really, really fast. And it's moving through the wire, so it's doing it through electrons. I mean, electrons are under pressure, so they have little force bits moving between them, little ping pong balls. And I add a little bit more coming this way, another bang of a ping pong ball. Well, if there's one more bang on this side, then the thing moves in this way. And when it moves in this way, that's going to make it a shorter distance for the balls to travel, so this other one's going to feel the extra pressure. It's going to get hit more often. So it's going to push. So the force, the little ping pong balls, are moving the speed of light. The paddles won't move the speed of light, but they will convey the energy. They will convey the fact that you put in extra.
Where it's reached equilibrium proportional to the current placed in there.
Blah, 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 blah. Equilibrium proportional to the current pad. There's no equilibrium, obviously. So the current wouldn't be moving if there was equilibrium. So obviously there's a big differential is why the current moves. You got a bunch of fat atoms on one side and a bunch of starving thin atoms on the other side. And the fact is the thin ones are going to feed me. And the fat ones are going to be like, oh, I'm going to barf. Something like that. I mean, that's a really, really disgusting analogy, but, whatever. The fat atoms have to lose weight, and the thin atoms need to gain weight. And they will have an interesting interaction as they transmutate from I'm too fat to he's too thin, and then they're going to try to reach equilibrium. That's their ambition. Electrons love to be at equilibrium with each other. They love to be at the same pressure. Every atom is dependent on the electrons all having the same pressure between them. is they're constantly in contact with each other. They're constantly saying, what's the pressure? What's the pressure? What's the pressure between all the other electrons? And any imbalance will cause them to move in or out and change the balance between all the others. So they're constantly going to move into imbalances to counteract the imbalance. That will be the consequence of the imbalance, is action, and the action will in fact negate the imbalance.
Well, what us electrically trained people refer to as the conductor.
Right. And again, electrically trained people should know the difference between a watt, an amp, and a volt.
Trained, a conductor of electricity. So, let's say here's a wire, and you've got a
draw. So this will be the only drawing, and he doesn't even explain the drawing. I mean, his drawing is basically saying, here's a wire, okay, and there's a field doing this around the wire, okay. So he doesn't show that the field is supposed to be rotating. That's the motor force. So depending on which way the electricity goes, the field changes direction, rotation, depending on which way the electricity is traveling through the wire. Now I would argue those field lines are just abstractions, and the real field, okay, is lines of force, like a little porcupine, all the way around, little porcupine needles of lines of force that are actually coming out, and all they're doing is switching from blue to red, from blue to red, blue to red. And it's those switchings that's causing the rotation by a right-hand rule, by some fundamental property that obliges it to be right-handed.
Bunch of circles around there. You've got this magnetic field surrounding the wire. It doesn't matter if it's AC, DC, we're just looking at
it. It's a huge difference, so it really does matter whether it's AC or DC in terms of what the capacity of this field is. It needs to change. You have to have a changing field to create any induction. So it's not going to do any inducing of anything unless it's changing. So you have to have AC to induce in something else. If it's a static field, all it does is it moves this way out, and then it pushes on something, and that's the end. Okay, nothing else happens. There's one event and it's over.
This is a frozen moment in time. The fourth dimension, time. And time is a dimension.
So, whatever. So, you know, he wasn't satisfied with their description of what energy is, but he's satisfied with some notion that time is some sort of place. No, it's not. Okay, it's a function. The clock is one clock in the universe. It's whatever time it is here, it's the same time way, way, way over there. Okay, same thing is happening. And we can see the proof of it, because it takes a billion years for the photons to get here from over there. Way over there.
Dimension, because the strict meaning of the word dimension means measurement and time.
So the strict definition. So we're just going to play word game. So an idea of a three-dimensional universe made of forward, back, right, left, up, down. Ideas that these are completely 180 degree perpendicularly separated places. We're just going to say, fuck that. Let's use the word dog to describe cat. I mean, it's just, what's the point of it? What's the point of using the word when it just breaks anything called continuity, anything called reasonableness, anything called logic? You just break logic with fake words.
Time can be measured. The electric field can be measured. Magnetism can be mentioned. So there is three dimensions on top of your normal...
Measured with the same device, again, so you need the same device to measure them. You need a dipole. So, you know, why are you calling them different things when the same device measures them?
Spatial three dimensions that we live in, height, depth, and width. So there's six dimensions that we've mentioned already. Now, photons traveling throughout the universe, they are dynamic electromagnetic phenomena, and they exist across the fourth dimension.
So the fourth dimension is supposed to be time, and somehow they're doing something with time. So they don't, as it appears, take 10 billion years to travel across the distance of space. Of course they do. So what are you talking about?
Anyway, let's get back to this electric field and the tensility of space. And whether you want to call space ether, quantum foam...
These are all really stupid things to say again, right? So if space is nothing, that's what I would argue it is, and you can only have something in it. So you can put something in the space, like you could put water in a lake. Okay, or you could have no water in the lake. Big difference, frankly. So, yes, I'm arguing there's water in space, okay? And the water is these little tiny bits of force. They're not ether bits. They're not some other kind of bit. They're a little piece of momentum moving the speed of light. So they're real things, but they're not water. They don't stick to each other. They don't do all this other crap that water does.
The big vacuum... whatever you want to call it, outer space.
Right, so the space itself should be conceded to be just a place where things can happen. All right, but things have to happen. Things have to be in the space. So the forces that make the fields are actual things in the space. Just like the electrons and protons are in the space. And we're made of those little bits, so we're in the space.
It doesn't matter, because you're in space right now, whether you're standing on Earth, or on Mars, or the Moon.
Right, but I'm in crowded space. There's a whole bunch of other crap in my space, okay? In my space is full of a bunch of shit. It's not empty space. It's crowded space.
You're in space. If you're... deep underground in a mine, you're in space. Not outer space, but you are.
More crowded again. More space, because now it's under higher and higher pressures, higher density of matter per inch kind of stuff. It's getting thicker and thicker.
Occupying space in the universe. And these rules apply whether you're in, whether you've materialized in the center of a black hole or you're on...
Whatever this materialized part is, right? Nothing materializes. It either is or it is not. It does not disappear and reappear.
On the Moon, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are in the universe, these rules apply. Now, this... when you...
So that's kind of a bold statement, frankly. I mean, can you really say that, that the core of a neutron star, the rules are the same as everywhere else? That there's no place in the universe where... frankly, you've negated the field dynamics by absorbing all of the field's energy with some other mechanism, and therefore there's no capacity for the light to travel. There's no capacity for anything to get to you.
Place a current through this wire. This magnetic field occurs at the speed of light, and the speed of light is...
So we know it doesn't really do that, so there's no point in saying the current really doesn't move the speed of light. I mean, it's something less than the speed of light. So there's a little bit of logistics in getting the light inside the wire, if you're going to just say, well, it's force inside the wire, and the light is a force, and so I'm going to convert the photons into the energy in the wire. Well, I could argue it's still photons, it's just not the visible kind. But they're not traveling quite the same speed, because they are traveling through a mass-matter medium. They are, in fact, having to waste some time moving the paddles. The balls, the ping-pong balls, can't just go straight through the wire. They have to spend a little bit of time hitting the paddles.
Proportional to the medium that it's traveling in, like through water it'll slow down, through a diamond.
Right, so that I could analogize is the denser the medium, it just means there's more paddles closer to each other, and the less dense the medium, the faster light travels through it, means the paddles are further apart. So there's fewer paddle interactions.
And it'll really slow down. In space it is c, the constant speed of light. But let's talk about what happens.
Yeah, so space is the medium where the paddles are perhaps billions of light years away, right? So there's no material object I have to hit to transmit the light. I don't have to hit this to force this to produce the bulb light, and then force this to do it again and again and again. So the more times I have to interact with an electron and force it to move, and then force that electron, that paddle, to create more energy in the other direction, the fewer times I do that, the faster the light will appear to get from point A to point B. So in empty space, the assumption is there's very few paddles. But I would argue that that's why there's redshift in the universe, is because there's enough paddles to slow it down a little and cause the change in its frequency.
We turn this current on, we've got a steady magnetic field surrounding the conductor. Now what happens when we turn the power off? The universe fights back and punches, well, it doesn't punch it, it compresses that magnetic field back into the conductor.
So this doesn't really happen. So sorry. There has to be some other player for it to be a real effect. The inductive resistance, or the you have to create the effect in something else to have the time that it takes for the effect to finish. So you have to have a process that takes time. Initiating just current in a wire won't create any lag in the field change. The wire has an infinite capacity. It has no inductive resistance. There's a word for that. Can't think of it right now. But yeah, there's no incapacity for the wire to change, as long as there's no mass around it that it's also going to be affected by.
That is the tensility of space. You cannot, under these conditions, you cannot stop it. You can't alter it. That's what happens. The magnetic field, they say it collapses. No, that's, you could say it collapses, but
it stops, clearly. So all you're doing, you're doing a simple thing, okay? I mean, your lighthouse, okay? You're pushing electrons out. And then there's a point where you can say they can go back in. That's about all there is to it. It's a switch. You turn it on, the electron goes out. You turn it off, the electron goes back in. The end. You're back to where it was before. It returns to its previous location. You make the wire fat, you put the wire back to thin, or vice versa. And there's no rule against that function until there's other stuff around to cause there to be a exchange of, well, you shouldn't get too thin, too fast, so here's a little food. You know, it slows down the process of getting thin, and it slows down the process of getting fat, because it steals. The echo is still a sound. It's just a fact. So you stop talking, but the echo is still echoing. So as long as you're not in a canyon, there's no echo.
All technical reality, it is space that is compressing that magnetic field and correcting the imbalance, because that magnetic...
So it's not correcting anything, it's just saying you're using energy, okay, momentum, to push something out. And all you're saying is once I stop applying extra pressure on the inside to push it out, it will go back to where it was before. It's equilibrium. it'll restore back to the previous pressure, okay, that didn't require my extra energy. My extra energy increases the pressure. I stop producing the extra energy, it goes back to the original pressure. Kind of obvious. All right, so maybe this, half of this video is enough.
Bill is out of balance with the universe. And the universe, like I said, doesn't care about what you or I want or what we want to talk about or what we think.
So again, it just really doesn't matter. Obviously, the universe doesn't have a brain, but we all have brains. We do care. We do like logic, some of us. We do like words that have consistent definition. We do like models. We do like explanations. This explains nothing. That's the statement of this piece of the universe to your piece of the universe is, quit talking shit and actually explain something. What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck is it made out of? What are the elements that function in your universe? 12 dimensions of stuff moving or what? What stuff? How does the electron know there's a proton over there? Explain that. How does the proton know there's an electron over there? I have to do this. I have to do that. How does the electron know where to go? There's an electron sitting in space. The Earth is here. How does the electron know I'm attracted to the Earth? That's what I want to see. All right, so maybe I'll come back to this if there's another slow day. There's just absolutely nothing to comment on. I mean, there's just no comments on any parts of my videos or any place. And then there's nothing anywhere else. There's just nothing to comment on. So, yeah. And, I mean, I've already, I've just finished doing a bunch of elementary type description videos. Subjects are good. And this is a good subject, but no point in talking this crap. Anyway, till the next time and such. This has been NadraPhysics.com. Debate physics also, but people really aren't capable of that. It's like this guy, you can't say, hey, I don't get it. I think you're talking shit. I mean, it's a real opinion. You don't like the opinion? Too bad. It's the fact. I don't think anything you're saying is logically frameable. You can't put it in any kind of logical frame. It's just a bunch of gobbledygook. Yeah. So your counter argument is, fuck you, I'm gonna be a terrorist and try to get you kicked off the internet. Well, that's not a debate. That's just bullshit. But anyway, till the next time and such. I'm sorry you're crazy. It's not my fault. Blah, 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 blah.